It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, Wisconsin farmers are being challenged by low milk prices, trade disputes, and the aftermath of wet spring weather. We'll talk to the head of the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection about how his agency is responding. First, fake news and other forms of media misinformation are a big concern for many Americans. That's according to the results of a Pew Research Center study released last week. The survey asked respondents about made-up news. It came up as a bigger concern to them than things like terrorism, racism, climate change, or people immigrating to the U.S. illegally. Margot Suska is a professorial lecturer in journalism and mass communication at American University in Washington, D.C. Margot, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Now, this Pew study used the term made-up news. That could cover a lot of ground. What kinds of media misinformation has you worried when it comes to what the public is receiving?
Well, I think that that is something to think about, that this report used the term made-up news and information when it surveyed some 6,200 Americans in February and March. But we, I think, have to consider, what is this definition of fake news? What is it that we're talking about? It means something very specific to me, and it means something very specific to other political science researchers. It might mean something very different than to your uncle sitting at the Thanksgiving table with you when you ask him about what fake news is. But to me, what I'm most concerned with, and I see it align with some respondents in this study, although they didn't ask about fake news, is things like videos being doctored and the sources of information and real questions about things that look like they could be true, but that aren't. And I think that that is something that I'm really concerned with as technology improves. I'm also concerned, I think, with the audience and what they're able to understand as being truthful or not truthful. And I think in this current information and entertainment media ecosystem, it is getting very difficult to identify the sources of information when you have millions of channels at your disposal.
Let's talk about that straight up fake news. I dimly recall that that originally meant people literally making up news stories and making them look like news. They might have been in Macedonia. They might have been in the United States. Is that what you're pointing toward when you say fake news?
Absolutely. And that's, you mentioned Macedonia, and there were investigations by two news organizations that identified 100 sites that were run by teenagers in a small town in Macedonia. Others from outside the U.S. and inside the U.S. have created domain names that look very similar to popular news sites. They may add a .co onto a .com domain name. But these are, yes, complete fiction. And I think one of the headlines that I remember from the run-up to the 2016 presidential election was Hillary Clinton and Yoko Ono having an affair, sometime in the 1970s. It is just complete and utter hogwash. That's what I think of as fake news. But of course, today that term is so politicized that you have the President of the United States, among others, using the term fake news to describe legitimate media organizations like the New York Times and CNN. It's no wonder that Pew avoided the term fake news, because it's really come to mean something, of a very partisan nature.
Right. And if I'm that survey respondent being asked this question about made up news, I could be saying I'm worried about those complete fictional news stories like the one you just mentioned. Or I could be saying, yeah, the New York Times or CNN or whatever mainstream media source, I'm worried that they're making stuff up. Are you worried that that's maybe part of the public perception?
Absolutely. And what we see from the Pew results is that the partisan divide among respondents, what they were worried about and who they blame for the problem of made-up news, it is highly partisan. Republicans are nearly three times as likely as Democrats to say that journalists create a lot of made-up news. And that was 58% of Republicans saying it, compared to 20% of Democrats. And that, to me, is really interesting here about from some of the results. So again, you're absolutely right. What are they talking about when they talk about fake news? And what are these respondents talking about? And in this survey data, we won't know. But clearly, what I think we can take from this survey is that 5 years ago, fake news or made up news, this wasn't even on our radar. By 2017, fake news was named a word of the year, and that now many Americans are putting it above climate change, racism, and immigration as something they are very heavily concerned about.
Margo Suska is with us from American University, looking at a new survey where respondents said they are quite worried about various forms of made-up news, more worried than some other big issues that are out there. Margo, if we spent all our time making up fake news stories and nobody shared them, it probably wouldn't matter so much. What do you make of the fact that people seem to like to pass these things along to other people?
Well, it's true, and I think that is what's so interesting about it, is the viral nature of some of these stories and how many millions of times these fake news stories were shared. And when I say fake news, I mean the complete fictional stories, how many millions of times they were shared before 2016. So I think that there are some really interesting things that come out of this report, however, about not just how we interact with social media and how we interact with mainstream news, but that we are starting to disengage from each other for fear that fake news is going to come into our interpersonal conversations. We are unfollowing and we are unfriending when we see people posting things that look like or that we suspect are fake news. So that was what was really most interesting to me about this Pew Research report, is that not only is it affecting our relationship with news and with politicians and other institutions, but it really is starting to affect our relationship with each other.
What do you see as the role of the mainstream media, however you want to define it, to combat this, to turn the tide on fake and misleading news?
Well, I'll tell you what I would say as the solution is different than what survey respondents said. Survey respondents overwhelmingly believe that journalists have the responsibility to fix the problem of made-up news. Now, again, I know as a researcher and as a former journalist and as someone who trains young journalists here at American University, I know that journalists aren't putting out fake news. I know that. I live that. So when I think that, you know, when I hear people say journalists should fix the problem, I think, well, we're already not putting out fake news. So I think that the issue has to be one of education, and it has to be one of media literacy. And what's also interesting is that you've got a dozen states in the United States right now that are looking to write media literacy bills in some way. But I have to wonder, and maybe I'm showing my age here, as a person who grew up with a robust social studies and civics education in middle school and in high school, are we really just talking about a re-engagement with a knowledge of American civic life? The Pew Report, again, says overwhelmingly people think journalists should fix it. They don't put the onus of responsibility on Facebook or on Twitter, where a lot of this information goes viral and is shared. And I was really shocked by that finding from this survey.
Is there a role for journalism to play, though, in debunking? And we have a lot of fact-checking websites out there already. Do you see a role for a subset of journalism in defaking news?
Well, I think I work with full disclosure, with the International Fact Check Network, which evaluates the criteria by which news organizations or fact check arms of news organizations say that they are debunking myths. So I do think, is there a role for news organizations? Yes. But I think that the methodology by which you can go about showing that something is false, I think that that is something that goes beyond what we would consider typical journalism. I also think that we are going to have an issue. If you already think that a certain news organization is biased against your political party or against your viewpoint, and then they have a fact check arm, my guess is, and my hunch is, that you're probably going to think that what they fact check is also baloney as well. So again, I think you're absolutely right. I would love to see more fact checking groups using a robust methodology. But I do think that there is some source issues here that people are going to tend to disagree, or they're going to tend to, see the falsehood, if you will, in the news organization as well as in its fact-checking group as well.
For media literacy and civic education, it seems hard to do because it's such a moving target. In that civics class 20 years ago, what's Facebook? What's the internet in some ways? And now here we are, and maybe 5 or 10 years, there'll be some website we haven't even heard of yet that's the way we get our news.
Sure, you're absolutely right, and it's a really good point. And what I would say is that it isn't so much, you know, targeting Facebook or having a curriculum based on MySpace or something like that, but I do think that it is the foundation of media literacy. When I teach it in the classes I teach here at American, the foundation of media literacy really is critical thinking, and it's looking at sources. And this Pew report showed that more people were looking up the sources that they see in news sources that they see online, or in sources, I don't know if they're all news, but in sources that they saw online. And I thought that was really interesting. But that takes a level of engagement and also a level of leisure time that not everyone, you know, really is going to have. But so I think that critical thinking and understanding sources, I think this is a part of education that doesn't, that you can take with you over the long term, rather than just targeting Twitter or targeting Facebook. And I think the other thing is maybe an understanding of what journalism's role is in society. And I think that my area of expertise is not just journalism, news, and media, but it's the role of corporate media ownership and how increasingly the loss of revenue for news organizations means they're shutting down news organizations. So we've left these news deserts across the United States. And what's happening is, if you don't know a journalist, you don't see a journalist, and you don't know, you know, he or she out on the beat, then you tend to think that you don't have a relationship with journalism. You don't have an understanding of what journalism is supposed to do. And what it's supposed to do is hold leaders accountable. So what you have are leaders who can say, oh, that's fake news. And when you don't know journalists, then, you know, that's the kind of criticism that really can take hold.
We're talking to Margot Suska from American University about people's concerns over fake news and other misleading information in the media and on social media. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you seen a fake or made-up news story? Was it shared with you maybe on social media? Did you recognize it right off the bat? Have you caught yourself sharing something and then later you look back, wait, was that legit? And have you ever called somebody on a story they've shared with you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we pick up our conversation with Margot Suska. She's a journalism and mass communication professor at American University, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. We're talking about a survey that said, hey, a lot of us are worried about misleading news, made-up news that comes to us in the media, on social media, maybe in particular. Is this a worry for you? Do you have a solution? Do you see this a lot? Maybe on your Facebook feed? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Tom is with us in Milwaukee. Tom, hi.
Hi. Before the internet, I've wondered for decades why high schools don't have, as part of their curriculum, classes to make us better consumers of the news.
Tom, thanks for the call. It seems like there's been a movement, Margot, toward more media literacy. Are we seeing that in more schools?
I can't speak to schools nationwide. I know that American University added media literacy as a core component of a new curriculum overhaul that we did here. I've been teaching for almost 15 years, and it's been a key component of some of the classes that I teach. Of course, I'm a media and culture and journalism professor, so it's a natural fit for me. But I think your caller is absolutely right that we have got to teach young people how to interact and engage with media, and not just news media, but also I think social media as well. It really is dominating their lives. Most Americans on average spend about 12 hours a day with media. We're on the phone, we're watching TV, we've got all sorts of sources, we're listening to the radio in the car, and I think that we really need to be to do better teaching young people about this media environment, because it is ubiquitous.
Tom, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Margaret, we see surveys saying people get so much of their news from Facebook and a fair amount from Google and other online sources, and we see that those online companies get a lot of the revenue that might have gone to the media in the past. You touched on this briefly earlier, but do you see a role for places like Facebook, for places like Google, in stemming the flow, YouTube too, stemming the flow of fake news?
They have to play a role. Listen, when you're talking about just how powerful these groups are like Google and Facebook with revenue that outpaces some countries in the world, they have got to be able to step in and say, this is how we can help. And if it cuts into their profits a little, I'll be the first one in line to say, so be it. They have got to look at ways that they can stem the tide of fake news. And they certainly, we've learned this week, are profiting off of real news in terms of how they how consumers interact with news online. So in that way, I would say, if you're going to take the good, you've also got to be able to help with the bad. And clearly, viral stories, and Facebook and Twitter play a huge role. They have got to be a part of the solution.
Go back to your calls now. Dave is with us in Wausau. Dave, hi.
Hi. How are you guys doing? Thanks, first time caller. So I was just curious what your analyst's opinion is. When she says that the journalists have no role in combating fake news, so I think there's a difference between absolutely false news. I think in today's day and age, you have nobody actually pays attention to that, right? Nobody actually believes that Hillary Clinton had anything to do with what's-her-face. But we do see a lot of fake journalism. And it's just when she says that journalists have no role, I think there's a lot to be said where that's just absolutely false. There's everybody is so concerned with being first to the market because this 24-hour news cycle, whoever clicks on it first, that's who they're going to read. And so you have these journalists, and she had also mentioned that people are fact-checking a lot more and how they're checking the source's source, which is absolutely necessary. But I think the journalists don't do that. I think this whole, ever since probably 2014, 2016, everybody's just, if Washington Post says something, they'll cite Washington Post, but they don't actually look into whether or not the Washington Post article is actually accurate. And so you get a lot of these little inaccuracies. And then
gotcha, Dave. Thanks a lot for the call. Margot, I don't think you said journalists have no role, but what do you think about what Dave said, the rush to be first in something and then not checking the other sources and confirming the other sources?
Yeah, so I teach journalism ethics here, and what I tell my students is I want them to be right rather than to be first. And again, I think this is part of the issue where we have too many things that we're trying to address. And I would question the caller saying that things on that the Washington Post reports are not truthful or that they would fall under the category ever of fake news. I mean, the Washington Post is one of the most esteemed and should be one of the most trusted news organizations in the country. Does it get things wrong? Yes. Does it have an ethics policy, a corrections policy that follows journalism guidelines? Guidelines? Yes, and it does. But again, when you have to run a correction because you are rushed or because you don't for whatever reason there was an editing error, that is not what I would consider fake news. And I think that that's something that, you know, you really have to look at. And again, when I say journalists don't have a role, I would say, again, that's why I would say the Washington Post doesn't have a role because it's not producing fake news. Could it do better, objectively looking at different information that comes from different politicians or when it's on the campaign trail? Certainly, yes, I would say, but I don't think that's an issue as it relates to fake news.
Thanks for making that first call, Dave, at 800-642-1234. Margot Suska is with us from American University talking about fake and or misleading news. On that issue of the speed of news, Margot, sometimes we see after a tragic event, a shooting, the journalists are trying to get things right, give details as they come in. And there you see fake news sources or conspiracy-oriented news sources not at all reluctant to jump in and get their take out on the story first. How disruptive do you see that being?
I think that it is disruptive, and I think this is where I have been lucky enough to attend a conference on trauma journalism at the University of Missouri where I've studied this issue. I've done some research on coverage, objective coverage of mass shootings in the last 5 years. So I think that this is where I would say to people, turn to your local sources. It is unfortunate that we, in our fresh memory, the shooting in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and rather than just following a hashtag on Twitter, I went right to two reputable newspapers that I know in Virginia, and I was following their coverage online. So rather than just looking for a hashtag or just looking for a social media site, find out. If something happens in Milwaukee, then you know, look to the Milwaukee Journal. Don't just follow a hashtag. This is where going directly to the source and to a local source is going to matter, likely because they're going to know better law enforcement sources in the case of a tragedy or of trauma reporting. But yes, do journalists try to fill the void sometimes? Do they get things wrong trying to be too fast and try to get information out when we know people want to click on it? The answer is yes, and journalists can do better in that regard.
Time for one more call. John is with us in Milwaukee. John, hi.
Hello. I just have a question for your analyst in terms of what we choose to spotlight on the news and if there's any relationship to that being fake news. For example, a very small story could be shown multiple times, thus it's creating it bigger than what it really is. I'll take my answer offline.
Interesting, John. Perspective, context, and how much a story is repeated and blown out of proportion, maybe. Margo, what do you think?
Well, I think that there is research to suggest that if a story has images, that it will be run more. And that's why, you know, when you turn on the evening news tonight when you get home, you're not going to see a lot of footage from inside Congress unless it's somebody yelling at somebody else. And that's because, let's face it, it's very important news, that's very important information there, but a little bit boring in terms of the television visuals. So, yes, if you see a perp walk, what we call somebody being arrested and being taken across a stage, or across a law enforcement line, for example, this helicopter crash tragedy in Manhattan, you see smoke pouring from a building, that's going to be shown nonstop on CNN. If it tends to have images, we will see it more. So that's why radio, I have to say, is one of my main sources of news, because you don't have that clutter and you don't have that expectation that's going to come the visual with the news story.
I do hold pictures up to the microphone, but it doesn't seem to make a difference. Margo, that's all the time we have. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Margo Suska is a professor of journalism and mass communication at American University in Washington, D.C. She joined us to take a look at new surveys showing a lot of Americans are worried about misleading news coming to them on social media and elsewhere.